Whenever you say no to God, that is, say no to the unique and perfect Spirit in whom all things have their source, support, and being, say no to God, you will say yes to something else. And that is precisely the kind of strategy that Satan is after.
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
You take your Bibles this evening and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. Someone made the comment to me after this morning's message, wow, this opens up brand new vistas for us. We could go through all the list of idols and of gods in the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us, does it not, in 1 Corinthians, that these things happen for our example. That is, what happened in Israel is for every individual here to pay close attention to. 1 John chapter 5. We are looking at the passage in verse 21, but before we begin to do that, we really have to understand the context. May I say it this way before we launch into it? I would guess that most of us here would say, do we really need a discussion of idols? After all, we don't go home and bow down to anything. Recently in the Laotian congregation, a lady was saved, and one of the very first things she did was she went home to her home here in Cary, and she broke down her Buddhist idol, and she fractured the pieces that go with that. And Brother Manisai had the privilege of throwing in the dumpster, I think, a few blocks over here. You say, but I dare say that no one else here in this room is that way. Are there really problems here with idols? Do we have a problem of idolatry? I want you to see the context in which this is explained to us, because I think it's very powerful. We know in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sins not. Now the tense of that is continual sinning, bear that in mind. And in other words, a person who is truly born again does not have thereafter a lifestyle devoted to sin. There is a progressive work, and the Lord convicts them. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, that is born of God, keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. That's an interesting point for us to remember for a little later in the discussion. What do we know from Scripture? Greater is he that is what? In you than he that is in the world. And that's the sense in which he means this, that the wicked one touches him not. Watch what else we know in verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. You say, right, Pastor, we know this. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in wickedness. So is it really necessary to discuss this? Well, press on in verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come, praise the Lord for that, and hath given us understanding. He has enlightened our eyes. The entrance of his word gives us light, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I would imagine that from every heart here in this room, there wells up praise to God for these verses. Yes, absolutely, this is true, this is the case. It is even more poignant then. It is even more powerful that we find this exhortation after that powerful truth. In verse 21, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Shall we pray together? Oh, Father, how I pray tonight that you would help us understand why this is such a crucial exhortation. Help us, Heavenly Father, as those who know the very things described in this passage, we know them, and we know the God that is true. And yet, Heavenly Father, if this exhortation was given so many hundreds of years ago, and is applicable to churches down through the centuries and to saints through generations. Surely, Lord, this must be for us today. And so, Father, I pray this evening that you would help us to clearly understand why this is such a profound and powerful exhortation for all of us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Keep yourselves from idols. It implies that it is an act of the choice, an act of the will. It implies that it is a guarding of something, that you are guarding yourself from, guarding your heart and guarding your actions and making a personal choice that you yourself will stay away from idols. We will find throughout the message this evening that that theme comes back to us repeatedly. But let's launch through with the outline I've placed before you. Let's begin to launch through and ask ourselves, what about this? What about this matter of idolatry? Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now we want to test something. I want you to test whether or not the definition, the homemade definition that I put in front of you in your outline, is really correct. Is it right? And in order to establish that, what I'd like to do is I would like to work through several passages in order to cement this definition and be sure that we have a right understanding of what is going on. It is interesting to go back through various writers in Scripture, human writers that the Holy Spirit of God used, and notice what they had to say about idolatry. It would take longer than we have tonight, but that is the background for what I am putting through to you tonight. I've done this with several authors just to see what each one said about idolatry, and this is what began to develop. Watch what he says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols. So there we go. Something is offered unto idols. In this case, it was food. It was in a temple. Many of the meats that were put on the market were things that had been offered in temples. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, what does he mean by that? He means by that the very same thing that we just saw in 1 John chapter 5. Remember when he said, and we know, and we know, and we know, in 1 John chapter 5, that's what he's talking about. That we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. Better be careful. Knowledge can puff up. The fact that you know these things can give you the big head. You've heard me joke about this before. Perhaps we ought to put caution, contents under pressure, right on our foreheads, because we know so much and we learn so much. And you say, well, I know this. Well, bear in mind that what has to happen in its context, if we really do know these things, then, well, we'll build up others in love. We'll in love edify and build up others. There's a very specific reason that he is talking about that. We're not looking at the main thrust of the passage tonight, though I would just point this out. The weaker brother principle, when the Bible talks about the weaker brother principle, here it is in short, that if your weaker brother follows you in your actions and in so doing defiles his own conscience, the Bible says, don't do that. If meat causes my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world stands, Paul says. And so if they were to follow you and in so doing do what they believe is wrong or sin against their own conscience, the Bible says not to do that. But here's the main thing that we're looking for with reference to idolatry. Watch what he says in verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. If any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of the things that are sacrificed unto idols, we know. All right, now we know this. We know that an idol is, what's the next word? Nothing. An idol is nothing. See in your definition, it is an empty. It is nothing. It is an empty, and I went ahead and supplied these words, an empty form or force. Remember how I said this morning that some people worship the forces. We're going to see this in one note that is not in your outline. We'll get around to Ezekiel 8 in just a little bit. We'll talk about this. But it is an empty form, an empty force, if you will. But let's go ahead just a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. And we're picking up here on near the end of this same discussion. But watch what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. What say I then? That the idol is anything? No. He is here recapitulating or repeating what he said a few moments ago. We know that the idol is nothing. or that which is offered and is sacrificed to idols is anything. He already told us that. He says in verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice. Now here's an interesting aspect of this. What he is saying is that when people use these forms or forces, that is, when a human being participates in this, in this case, when the Gentiles sacrifice, they do homage, they worship, they venerate, whenever it involves human beings, persons doing these, you could also say angels with reference to Lucifer, but what they are doing, they are actually doing something or projecting something. And what is it they are doing? The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to, what's the next word? Devils. And King James English, that's the word demons. In other words, they are sacrificing to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Now, folks, just so you understand, here is part of what is going on here. This is a very subtle area, but you've heard me talk about it before. Do you remember when Satan confronted the Lord Jesus Christ, when he tempted him? And he tempted him by saying, would you not cause that these stones would be made into bread? Now, what was he trying to get Jesus to do? He was trying to get Jesus to use his power to serve himself. That's really what he was after. I have heard messages on this where some said it was the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I have a very difficult time getting that out of that particular passage. But I can tell you that what he was trying to get him to do was to use his power for his own purposes. Do you remember later at what he actually asked him to do? He said, "Bow down and worship me." This is all part of Satan's strategy. In other words, if Satan can just get you to use your power to serve yourself, then it's just a very small baby step for you to use your power to serve Satan. Why? Because in both cases, you are serving an idol. The idol of self, the idol of Satan. In other words, you are serving a false god in both cases. Nevertheless, we do have to understand this. This process is often, not always, empowered by or enabled by demons. Do you see why? Anything that violates the holiness and uniqueness of God, anything that tears down at His glory, demons love that. I mean, it's the very thing that they're designed, that they want to do. That's their designation. That's what they want to see done. What did Satan say in Isaiah 14, or Isaiah 28 and Ezekiel 14, I will be like the Most High. In other words, they want to tear down God from His throne. And so look at your definition. We're looking at an empty form or force, sometimes empowered by demons, that man has chosen to worship. Now, is it subtle? Is it tricky? Is it seductive? Yes. But if you were to go through, and we won't do it right now, but if you'll take a passage like Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 10, here's what you would discover. You would discover that it is as a result of people saying no to God, and they end up saying yes to something else. Whenever you say no to God, that is, say no to the unique and perfect Spirit in whom all things have their source, support, and being, say no to God, you will say yes to something else. And that is precisely the kind of strategy that Satan is after.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.